Mr. Welton, Sean. Hey, we continue the Rambam Hilchos Tumas Meis Pirk Yud Aleph, Chapter 11, Halacha Yud.
We're supposed to be passing this.
Okay, we're talking about, again, other aspects of a Medor Goyim, places where Goyim live in Eretz Yisrael, where we have to maybe be a little suspicious that they bury their fetuses over there. We have to check out, make sure they don't have any fetuses there. So, continuing that theme till the end of the parak, Yud. Ha'it Stavi Niyos. Okay, that is a covered porch with no walls that's adjacent to a public thoroughfare. Of a public thoroughfare, and then this off of the public thoroughfare, there's a porch that's covered but has no walls. Ein b'hem mishum medor goyim. You don't have to worry about goyim or living there, that they're going to bury some fetuses there. Why? It's out in the open. Everybody sees what's called a public thoroughfare. They're not going to do that kind of stuff out in the open. There's no place to hide and bury the fetuses. So that's not a likely spot. Even though goyim live there, we're not going to be concerned for that. And then it goes on and says, Vasara makoimais. Ein b'hem mishum medor goyim. There's 10 types of locales where you don't have to worry, even if goyim live there, that they're going to bury the fetuses there. Why? Because remember, the rabbis made the decree. So when they make the decree, they want to make it in more likely situations. They're not going to make the decree in less likely situations. And all these 10 have a common denominator. L'fein she'ein dirasam kivua. These people don't settle in these places permanently, and they're not likely to put the fetuses buried in those spots. It's temporary dwellings.
Transient.
Therefore, lo gozra lehem tumah, they did not decree on the tumah for that. Ve'heilu einam esar mekoymes. These are the 10 types of places. Number one, ohale arvaim, Arab tents. Okay, they're transient people.
They're like Bedouins?
Okay, yeah. Ve'hasukos. And people build these little huts out in the fields when they're harvesting the fruits of the very temporary
migrant
places.
Workers.
Yes, migrant homes. Vahatsrivim and teepees. Vahaburgonin. And temporary silos where they're just putting up these places just to put some fruits that they're gathering. Vahatikra shal gabe ha'amudim ve'ein lot vanos ve'ein batakayets. And a ceiling, a roof. That's on post, but doesn't have any walls. If that's a summer dwelling, okay. Six ubay sashar. That's the little. One second. It's a little small. A little guardhouse in front of the chutzner, where the guard is there, and it opens up into Rishus Harabim as well. Next, Vavira Shel Chutzner, the opened area of a courtyard that doesn't have any roof to it. Vahamerchatz and a bathhouse, v'makom she'osim ba'achitzim kleyamin l'chama, and place where people make their military hardware, u'makom haligionos, and the place where the warriors store various weapons in their storage room. These are all temporary types of places, or places that are out in the open, and it's not likely they're going to bury any fetuses over there. Okay, Yud Aleph, continuing this theme, hachanus, a store. Ain ba mishum mother goyim. Even the lots of goyim may frequent that store, but no one lives there. Ellen Ken Hoyador Basal. I say we're living in there. Somebody was living there, then maybe yes. Okay, now how about chotzer sheet may mishum medor goyim? What if you have a chotzer, a regular chotzer that's enclosed, could it's roofed, that could be a medor goyim that you were concerned about fetuses being there. So once you have the chotzer, is already problematic. Hare beis hashar shalah, the adjacent guardhouse, vavira, and any adjacent open area next to, contiguous to this chutzner, tmeim kamo, or tmeim like that. I guess since they're next to it, then maybe people will just dump things over there as well. And then finally, ve'ein medor ha'goyim v'lo beis ha'pras v'chutz la'aretz. But we don't have anything like a status of a goyish neighborhood or a beis hapras. Remember, that's a place where there was a kever that was brought over. We don't deal with those halachas b'chutzars, once in chutzars, because you already have bigger problems
already
to deal with.
Already tell me.
That's right. You have bigger problems, and more than that, and they can't be purified from that either, because it's a non-issue over there. Already have chutzars. Final halacha yud beis. How about ayoros hamuvlos beretz Yisrael? How about cities that have lots of goyim living there, but they're surrounded on all sides, on three sides, from Eretz Yisrael? So you got Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to give you examples of cities in a minute. So you'll see why. But it's bounded by Jews. Kigal, for example, the city of Sisis, vechavrusah, and its adjoining villages, or Ashkelon, vechavrusah, and its adjoining villages. Okay, so they're surrounded by Jews on all the sides. Right, got the ocean on the other side, and then you got this little pocket over here.
Where's Sisis?
I don't know. Even though there's no halacha of Meiser and Shemitah, that was a gzeira they made, still, we're not going to consider it as non-Jewish land, because it really is Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, and paths that were very commonly traversed by people who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, I guess maybe during the regalim or whatever, the assumption is they're toheris, they're pure. Afal pishay muvlos, whereas goyim, they're surrounded amongst goyim. But I guess the Jews made sure that they would be cleaned out because many people were traveling there to go to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they want to make sure there'd be no problems off tomorrow.
Were there wells and mikvahs along the way?
Yeah, all kinds of things. So they want to make sure that everything, they make sure that that's fine.
So Ashkelon is just treated like a Jewish city.
For this halacha, no, but it doesn't have a halacha of Meisers and Shvi's. It's not like a Jewish city. Okay, we roll on to the 12th chapter. From chapter 12 to chapter 19, the focus is Tumas Ohel. And if you take a look, if we can do halacha aleph, it would be very nice because it's a very big halacha.
It's pretty big, right?
But it gives us a general ground rules over here. Now let's just review a couple things we know and the chiddush that the rabbi is going to tell us. Number one, we're not defining it yet. Just a genuine ohel, however it's going to be defined, has two things: the ability to disperse the tumah within the ohel. You have a dead body in the ohel. The fact it's in an ohel, the ohel will disperse tuma everywhere throughout the ohel. So even someone of something that's not touching the corpse will become tummy. That's rule number one of an ohel. Second rule, generally speaking, it will interrupt the tuma that will not go beyond the ohel. Someone could be standing on top of the ohel.
Forget it.
He's not going to be tummy. If it is defined as an ohel, as we will define it shortly, so there's usually two halachas that run together. Disperses the tumah within the entire ohel.
It doesn't go sky
and
high.
Separates it from any other tumah beyond it. That's going to be the first big chunk of this halacha. Second big, that's the general rule. But under certain circumstances, they will not go together. And sometimes it's possible to disperse the tumah inside the ohel and yet not block the tumah from going out. Huh. And therefore, it can make some interesting situations where the tumah can be going crazy over here. Now, I know there's a picture over here. I know I'm fully aware of it, but it's not helpful for what we need. It's a very general thing, and to go through that picture, I'd have to explain so much of what we still have to do to make the pictures understandable. Maybe I'll come back to it later, but I was aware of the picture. I didn't forget it this time. Now I'm trying to be awfully careful that there's no pictures on this huge halacha, because it's not that hard to visualize these situations here. Okay, now that we have that, let's see.
I'm sorry.
All you gotta do, bing.
19.
And there you go.
That's it.
Perek Shneimah Esar. We're in chapter 12. Okay, now, here's the general rule. Some of this we've talked about, but now this is inside, really. Tefach al tefach meruba. If you have a square tefach, so this is a tefach approximately.
Yeah.
So a square tefach would pretty much be this whole fist, approximately. Not
it's 4 inches by 4 inches.
So yeah, that's about this.
16 square.
That's about a square tefach, approximately. Well, give or take a little more, but that's just for, okay. So if you have a ceiling that's tefach by tefach, okay, one square tefach, al room tefach with an airspace above the corpse of one tefach, that will be the definition of an ohel. So maybe Asat Tumah, it disperses the Tumah within that area underneath that Tefach by Tefach. V'chotzeis bifnei Atumah, and will separate any Tumah on top of it, din Torah, on a biblical level. She'ein koru oel, oel is only defined as Tefach al Tefach berum Tefach, a Tefach square with a Tefach height beyond the corpse or more. Alze, okay. Now, but it's not one square Tefach. It has to be one Tefach by one Tefach. Dahainu. What if, let's say, it's wide a half a Tefach, but long 20 tefachim.
No,
it has to be each.
It's not. You must have at least the one by one. You have to have that.
Minimum.
So you have to have one.
No dimension will be less than one.
How would you call a perfect square, you know, tefach? You know, there must be a word for it. You know, you could say
cubic tefach.
No, that's a cubic, but I'm saying it's one by one. So you could have one cubic square, one square. Foot
a square
with a half
means equal size. A square in itself means
equal. Yeah, but when you call square feet, you usually don't say that. Let's say 6 by 9, you say it's 54 square
feet. Are we talking about three-dimensional space?
No.
Well, no,
we're talking about 1 by 1, but not not a half by 2.
No.
So we just say 1 square foot would not be enough of a definition.
No.
I'll call it a 1 perfect square, whatever you want to call it.
But it's three-dimensional, 1 by 1 by 1.
What do you call if a... Yeah, because it's a square. Really, it's 1 square foot that's a square.
Yes.
That's probably the best explanation.
Okay,
one square foot.
It doesn't have to be a square as long as one side, eat both sides.
At least, it's a minimum. Minimum has a square that is a 1 square foot.
Right.
That's the point.
No sign.
And then the corpse, and then you have one tefach beyond the corpse. And now, remember, the thing you're squaring is the roof. We don't care about the ground.
No.
The main thing is the roof, because that's covering the corpse. You got the corpse on the ground, right? So now, once you've got 1 square tefach over the corpse, okay, biblically, that has created the ohel.
It has to be over the full amount of the corpse?
No, it's just whatever. We're not getting into the details now. You got a corpse, whatever you have. It's not even a whole corpse. It could be a bone.
True.
Okay, we're not talking about the floor. The floor is not important. That's not important. The floor doesn't make the ohel an ohel.
It's the body.
But if the body is 6 feet long,
I'm not worrying about that. Let's not get into all the details now. Let's just understand the pure definition of an ohel. An ohel has something that gives off tumah. Now you can definitely have something that can give off tumah that is 1 square amah. It could be a full aver of an infant could give off tumah. There's no question give off tumah.
In that entire airspace.
Right. So now that entire airspace, whatever's in there is going to be tummy. It disperses there. Anything that's above that, the barrier, the roof.
The roof.
Does not become tummy. That's the pure biblical law. Okay, now, Kate said, let's have an example. Ksayis menamesh, of a ksayis from a corpse. Munach la'avir is sitting, that doesn't mean in the air. It means there's nothing on top of it. Meaning it's on the ground and there's nothing on top of it. There's no tent here. Starting with the no tent scenario. It's exposed. Uvetzido kalim, and right next to it are utensils. Kigon mechotin vitzinoros, types of needles. You have to have small things. It's only a square tefach, you know, not a lot of space, right? These are little hooks. And similarly, and they're not touching the tumah. So that's what you got right now. Now what's next? Im el alehem ohel. If you put on top now a type of a roof, sheishbo tefach al tefach, tefach square, gavoha meyal arts tefach, one tefach beyond the corpse, Hareza mavias atuma la kalimits maybe will now disperse the tuma to any of the utensils that are in underneath that little roof over there. On the other hand, hayu kalim acher malgabio, if you have any utensils on top, either sitting on it or above it, zeshiyesh v'tevel teva, and the roof has a tefach by tefach square. Harehem torin there tor. Because the OL creates a barrier between them and the Tumah. Hine lamanata. So what do you see from this? Shekeshem shol mitame kol shetachtov. Just like the roof will be mitame and spread the tumah, everything underneath its roof. Matzol kol shechutzalo will save everything that's beyond it. V'chotzeitz min ha-tumah will create a barrier between the tumah. Ubein ha-kelim shal-gabav and the utensils that are on top of the ohel. Okay? That's basically what we've described over here. And that's the pure thing. And he's not describing how the roof is a roof, but it's a roof sitting there. It doesn't really matter what's propping it up. But as long as you got that little roof over there. V'cheinim ho-yisa ha-tumah al-gabav v'kelim tachtav. Or let's say the reverse now. You've got this ohel situation, but you got a tumah, the corpse is on top of the roof.
Oh.
Fekalim tachtov, and utensils underneath. So it still is a barrier.
Sure.
It's a barrier. It's not only a barrier for the tumah underneath the ohel, it's above.
Not only above.
That's the unique nature of the ohel. It disperses whatever is inside it, and there could be nothing inside it to disperse. And blocks out what's in the ohel from what's outside on top of the ohel. So even the tumah is on top, it's still there. So therefore, hakelim tahorim. In this case, where the tumah is on the top, the kelim will be tar. Why? She'ohel chotzeis bifnei tumah. Because again, the ohel is creating a barrier between the tumah. This is all the cases where we've got a good working ohel. So you see how it works from the tumah inside, how it works from the tumah on top. Now, hoya ha'oel. Now, the case I spoke out. Hoya poches merum tefach. Let's say it does not have one tefach above the corpse. Or in this case, in the second case, there's no corpse, you see. Then it's from the ground. Remember, the case where the tumah is on top, it can't be a tefach from the corpse. There is no corpse. Then it's got to be a tefach from the ground, obviously. Okay. But now, let's say this oel does not have a tefach height. All right, so it's pachos merum tefach, o pachos mi tefach al tefach. It's less than one tefach long and one tefach wide. Afal pi shugovah kamadu. It's very high, many tefachim high. Now we do not have a barrier at all. There's like zero barrier. It's like it's not there. Therefore, hakelim shebitzada tumah, any utensils that are on the ground next to it, even though it's under the barrier, but it's not a halachically considered barrier,
tahorim,
they are tahor.
No dispersion.
Right, because they're not touching it, there's something to be dispersed.
Right.
Hakelim shelamalamel, but what's on top of the ohel? Then it's going to matter what. Yeah. If the item is directly over the corpse or not.
Yes.
Because then it'll be tummy, because then that item will be the ohel and not the roof.
Right.
V'chelim shalomal me'omazah. And then he tells that on top of that roof, that's not a halachic ohel. Kol shekeneged ha'tumah, whatever is right over the tumah on top, will be tummy. Because now that is what's making the ohel on it. Mipnei she'ilu ala tumah, they are tenting over the tumah. Vein shamol lochos v'tumah, there is no other ohel to separate the tumah from the kelim on top. Or let's reverse it again. We have a not proper ohel, and the tumah is now on top. Vecheinim ha'isa tumah al gabe ohel. Let's say the tumah, the corpse, is on top of this non-halachic ohel. Vekelim tachtov, utensils underneath. So what's going to be the law? Well, now it's the corpse is what's the ohel over whatever's underneath. There's something in a barrier. So again, kol kishenegad ha'tumah, whatever's underneath is right under the tumah v'tameh. Why? Sheheli aleim. Because the corpse or the tumah is the ohel itself over them. There's no oil to separate the tumah. And obviously, anything that's under that little roof that's not under the corpse will not become tummy because it's not going to be dispersed either. And here's the rule again. Shekol pachas merum tefach, anything that's less than one tefach high, it's kinegia hu chashiv, it's considered as if it is touching it, as if it is part of the ground itself. That is the first golden rule. Okay? And similarly, v'tumah shetachtov, and any tumah that's underneath that or above this actual tumah is called tumah ritzutzahi. Remember, tumah ritzutzah, we said compressed tumah. There's nothing blocking it. Kamosha b'arna, as we explained. So if it's on top, doesn't matter. It could be really high, doesn't matter. But if you don't have a proper ohel there, like the tumah is just right on top of it, and that's going to be the tumah ritzutzah.
Rabbi, fine. Isn't the meaning, it says, kinyahu chashuv.
It's like it's touching it. It's
does
like the core
mean important?
No, touching. Kinigiyah, it's like it's touching it. That's what the word negiyah means. Negiyah means to touch.
It's considered.
Okay, now, when do we say that both things go hand in hand? That the oil disperses the tumah underneath and interferes with the tumah above? When do we say that? Only in certain circumstances. That's when they go hand in hand. And when that's a normal situation of a normal ohel. A normal ohel, let's say a piece of wood. That's a normal ohel, right? Mm-hmm. But certain materials or whatever is not going to be considered a proper ohel. And therefore we're going to see it has one aspect, but not both aspects. So when do we say that the two go together? So it's a negative here. If the tent itself, not in the tent, but the tent itself is not an odom or kelim, a person or a utensil. Let's say a person can be the ohel. Vessels can be the ohel. Right. No, when we set our lots, what a real bona fide ohel, like a plank of wood. Okay, avo adam. That's when we say the thing that goes both ways. But avo adam o kelim. But what if the person himself or utensil itself is the ohel? Shenas oil al hatoma, and doesn't matter how much of it is the ohel. Bein shoyehem asol, whether they are the ohel. So let's say a human being. Here's the corpse. I'm an ohel, right? Well, we're going to see it doesn't go both ways then. But and so if they are that, Bein Shoy Hei Masel, whether they themselves are the Ohel, Bein Shoy Muda, or even if they're just like the walls or the pillars of the Ohel, let's say there's a flat board, but there's four men are standing under the board. Okay, when you got Adam or Caleb in any way is the Ohel or part of the Ohel, the law changes. Even these are the types of kelim that are not makabel tum at all, such as stone or manure kelim or real earth kelim, but not in the kiln.
Right.
So they're not makabel. It doesn't matter. So now what happens? You get one out of the two categories, but not both. Hare elu mevinas atuma. They disperse the tumah. So if a person here, let's say, here's the dead body. I'm over this. It will disperse the tumah, and this thing will become tumah.
Right.
But it will not be a blockage. Okay. Ve'ein chotzasi mipnei tumah, doesn't block. So now you got the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
It's matameh everything that's underneath, and it's everything like there's no body. There's no roof on top.
Right.
It's a roof, so to speak, to keep it in, but not to block. And then whatever will be on top of the tumah will get the tumah. Kate said, let's have an example. Luach, a plank of wood. That plank of wood itself, by itself, could theoretically be a good ohel if it was the entire ohel, but it's not. Shayamunach agabi arbamim is sitting on four people who are like the four walls or the four posts, whatever you want to call. So that already plugs into our oh agabi arbakim. We're sitting on four utensils. Afilu kleavadi, even stone utensils. Ukayitzim are similar like that. Mikalim she'ein leminam tumah, that their type of material is not susceptible to tumah, and all the more so. Vein shachol goes without saying. Imayamunach alarba shaputim, or if it's sitting on four spits like metal rods or bar kanim or four reeds which are makabel tumah, right. Either way, and shigavoyim tefach, and they're high one tefach, so now you need that tefach shahoysa, now tumah v'kelim tafla, there's tumah and utensils underneath that a kelim tmeim, utensils are tumah because it's able to disperse. On the other hand, it's not a blockage. V'mayu kelim al gabo, but there's utensils on top of it. Shelo afilu, listen to this. Shelo keneged atuma. Even it's not under the tuma, tmeim their tame. Why? Because
they're on top. They're on top of the board.
But even though they're not over the corpse,
right?
But everything is tame. The board's tame.
Yeah.
The board's tummy, so now it's sitting on the board. The board is tummy, right? Imhoisa tuma al gabe luch. Let's reverse it now. Let's say there's tuma on top of the boards. Vikalim tachta, I mean the utensils underneath.
I forget.
So what's going to happen?
Tamea.
Well, call kalim shetachas luch. Whatever utensils are directly under the board, tamei will become tummy. But it's not going to make anything else tummy. All of them will, because once it's tame, it will disperse it, though. But what if the board was sitting on top of four stones that are not utensils? So now we go back to the old law. Or even resting on an animal or a wild animal, that is considered legitimate walls. That's a legitimate oil. It's a regular oil.
That's you learned that from.
Bahaisa tumasa tachta is tum underneath. Then, even though the stuff underneath becomes tummy, it disperses. Harei kelim shal gabav tahor, and the utensils on top are tahor. All right, we're going to stop it over here. Although Bais follows up on
what's
this.
What's happening tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night we're going to be resetting the shul.
Well, there's a button you press.